The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I got sponge of money. Sponge of money never done. Sponge of money. Sponge of money's a lot of fun. You got sponge of money. Sing, girl, sing. Sing, girl, sing. Sing, girl, sing. Girl, you got straw wig money. Straw wig money never done. Straw wig money. Straw wig money's a lot of fun. You got straw wig money. Go, boy, go. Go to the farm. Go, boy, go, boy, get tomato money. Tomato money never done. Tomato money. Tomato money's a lot of fun. Tomato money. Go, boy, go, boy, get tourist money. Tourist money never done. Tourist money. Tourist money's a lot of fun. You got tourist money. Run, horse, run. Run, horse, run. Run, horse, run. Oh, boy, you got racetrack money. Now you look on my tie, my tie was new. Racetrack money. Now you look on my hat was new. Racetrack money. Laugh, ya laugh, laugh, ya laugh, laugh, ya laugh, ya. You got sponge of money, sponge of money never done, sponge of money, sponge of money's a lot of fun. You got sponge of money.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally August 1st. That means we're free. We've been free for several hundred years, right? When you say we, I mean people in diaspora, African people, right? But today, we're talking about a different type of freedom. I'm going to have a different type of conversation because we're talking potcakes. Kermit, give me one song about potcakes, please. I appreciate it because my guest is Stubbsdale. And what is your father's first name? I call him Jared Doctrine. Devin. He actually have his children, them, who are all professionals in terms of dog training and whatever, right? And I'm going to go in detail about the potcake dog, how we treat them, how we can train them. I'm going to go in detail about how animal rights in general. My guest is actually still downstairs, so I'm going to just do a preamble about him and the narrative. So when he comes up, he joins into the conversation, and we tied in also into emancipation. I had a news or a glimpse of news report about the difference between how Bahamians, and we can talk about the majority of people, black Bahamians, treat potcakes versus these toy and bread dogs. The lady who I saw in the news was mentioning that for this month, right, they see that there has been an increase of putting down potcakes. You say putting down, you know, after you have the dogs there at the Humane Society for a while, they have to do the inevitable, right? But she has noticed. She has noticed that is 80% of the dogs that are being put down are potcake dogs. And that all of the bred dogs or special toy dogs are still there looking for whom. But intentionally, it seems that the powers that be, it seems that the powers that be tend to lack of a better word, discriminate against pot cake. And I'm looking at the pot cake as the Bahamian dog, the official dog of the Bahamas. Dog we can find all over the place. I would even dare say perhaps the pot cake was here when Columbus arrived, because you know they had a small dog, terrier type dog that they had whilst Columbus was here with Awax, right? Perhaps the dogs that we see here, the pot cakes, are descendants from them. They are indigenous, right? The indigenous behemoths. But we have a contempt for indigenous behemoths. And as we celebrate Emancipation Day, and as I have my guests in studio to talk about his business, talk about how we treat dogs, what can we do in the future, I want to have that in the back of your mind, that perhaps there's classism in regards to how we treat the Bahamian pot cake. And that's what you call it, right? The Bahamian pot cake. But without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. And I know him as Jah Doctor, but he's not here on that musical theme. He's here in his official capacity. But when you then learn the nickname, you forget all the rest of the real name. But so I'm going to have him introduce himself, formally introduce the persons here who he has here in studio, and then give a brief narrative about his business and then his advocacy. And then we'll have a conversation and tie that into, I think Bahamians don't like the pot cake. I think Bahamians treat pot cake bad. They call me pot cake. They only know me when they need me, you know. They give us scraps. And we now important dogs, whereas we have dogs that we can take care of and herald as our own breed, as a special breed. And I want to have that conversation on this Emancipation Day. And happy Emancipation Day, everybody. It's good to be free. It's good to control your labor. It's good not to be owned by someone, because it's bad back then. But go over without further ado. Formally introduce yourself.
Hi, good morning. My name is Devlin Stubbs, and I am the owner of Stubbsdale Dog Care Center. And the initiative that I am discussing, at least from in connection to the community with dogs, is Pat's Nature Garden. And we host summer camps. We take therapy dogs into the school, and our focus is education, service, and rescue.
Yes, and thanks very much for that. But what type of dogs are you specializing in? Let me start off with that. I want to get a complete narrative. So who's calling in soon can understand where our conversation is going, right?
Sure.
And then we'll engage some of the public in regards to that. Because I find that pot cakes are supposed to be special. But when it's because there are so many of them being here, I find that how we treat the pot cake is concerning, and especially like in this movement of trying to be who we think we are. We now overlooking the pot cake and say, man, I want a small dog, right? I want to have that narrative, and we can tie it into
fair enough. Fair enough.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, no, fair. Yes, the pot cake is our indigenous, if you want to say it that way, native dog. That's layered, right? Because the pot cake, biologically or scientifically speaking, is a mixed breed. So it's essentially a conglomerate of the breeds that we know and love.
That sounds like a Bahamian. Yeah, we mix up.
Yeah, mix up, exactly. Consolidate,
yes.
All right. And then Dr. Fielding, Mr. Fielding, did a study, of course, like the professor at UB.
Okay.
Did a lot of research on dogs in the Bahamas. And so he did a study and to find out if there was a genetic, like if the Bahamian pot cake had a genetics, was there a genetic difference?
Yeah.
Like, was it unique to the Bahamas or anything? And the study found that there was no unique genetic difference to the Bahamian quote-unquote pot cake.
Okay.
Compared to mongrels or mixed breeds or around the
world. So did you genetically mongrels in general?
In general, yes.
Okay.
Of course, that's in any region, when you're dealing with genetics, you're going to have like isolation, right? And so you're going to have a certain propensity of breeds are evident. So if you look at the Bahamian pot cake, you're going to see the dogs we love. So I see Labrador a lot in my mind. When I see a pot cake, I see Shepherd, Labrador, Rottweiler, Doberman, all of the breeds that I think Aaron had mentioned last time, our Ridgeback.
Yes.
Right? So as you're going to see, the dogs we know and love in the pot cake, in different pit bull, of course, now with the pit bull influx over the years. And then you got the small dog. Small dogs became super popular. So now you have that variation. Okay. In the gene pool.
Before you came in, I mentioned that there's a newscast just recently, and I'm going to try and get that up too, where one of the animal rights advocates were talking that recently there has been an increase of putting pot cakes down. That in total of, say 100% of dogs that are being placed or put down, mm-hmm. right, because of how many being brought to the Humane Society, whatever it is, 80%. Mm-hmm. 80% are pot cakes dogs, mm-hmm. right? And the bred dogs, right, tend to be the last one to be selected. Even if they were there for, if say you have like 6 weeks to be at the, at whatever the housing mm-hmm. place, the bred dogs are there for, instead of 6 weeks, 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the pot cakes get that 2 weeks. And yes, they're gone. I said that tells a tale about us,
yes, sir.
As a people, and that's one of the narratives I want to have. And I see our callers coming in through, so we'll prep the caller for me too, producer, and I want some commentary about that.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Well, you know, I like when you said there's a tale to tell. I like when you said there's a tale to tell because we got to look at in context of Bahamian history. And again, what I'm saying is my opinion, mm-hmm. right? So, Dalton, you could have your own, and fair enough, right? However, my understanding of the pot cake is the pot cake came about because, in my opinion, because of communal love. Communal love in a rural population that was more so farming-based as opposed to city life, right? Because the indigenous Bahamian in our traditional communities, like this Emancipation Day, right? So you got Giambe, you got Fox Hill, you got Bayntown, right? In these communities, let's say 50 years ago, 60 years ago, however you want to look at it, there was the economics, or on the Family Islands, that's an even greater example. On the Family Islands, there was very little yards being fenced in, right? In terms of economically speaking, in the inner city, you're probably going to have less fencing in of yards and more of a communal experience, right, in general. And so the dogs play into that. So we come from a rural type of experience in the Bahamas, and then we got kind of what you could say is kind of mixed together, so to speak, like, I don't want to say encapsulated or locked in, but a lot of our communities, you call them like Fox Hill, Bayntown, these is where we started off as the majority kind of Bahamian in terms of our ethnicity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our dogs were in those communities, okay? And so the pot cake came about because in those communities, when you have a dog, you throw in the food out or you feeding that dog in the community. I'll give you an example. There's a family that I connected with just recently, and I got the mother and the father taken to Bark so that they could get them spayed. But when you walk into the yard, the family love these dogs. They feeding these dogs. They caring for these dogs. But on the outside, when you walk past and you look in the yard, you would look and think, oh, wow, these people are horrible, right? Because mm-hmm. you would assume that there's no love and no care because the dogs are able to leave the yard, roam freely and whatnot. So free roaming dogs. But that's a culture, certain dynamic in the Bahamian historical experience that has now, because we're now modern and we have, you know, more population, just be more city-like, now that context is out of place. And so the pot cake and the Bahamian people, in my opinion, suffer because of this, because we don't get the traditional man's best friend dog experience. We get an overpopulation of dogs that is, yes, our fault, but historically, we did not create the dynamic in and of itself that has morphed or evolved into what we see today alone.
Okay. We have a caller here. Let me have the caller engage you. Because your business concentrates to me, regarding pot cakes, dogs in general. And I want to have a narrative of that. Because when I see you, mm-hmm. I see you being, even in your advertisement, it's a pot cake.
Yeah, no.
It's not a bred dog right. In your advertisement, in your promotions.
Right.
Can pot cake dogs be trained? But let me go to the caller first.
Sure.
Because I want to ask that. Because I have a pot cake. Mm-hmm. But it's a house dog.
I hope what I said just now didn't go over anybody's hair because it was broad, you know. But
yes.
Okay.
Because I have a house dog, and my house dog is a pot cake. And people look at me and say, no, you don't have pot cakes as house dog. Mm-hmm. I said, no, man, I train him to when he reads go outside, mm-hmm. he goes outside. But let's go to this caller. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, great, you just see you in here. Guess how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Wait a boy. Hey, I had one of the best dogs ever, and I've never gotten able to find another dog with this. I told them. It's called a American Akita. It sells from a Japanese Akita. Japanese Akita looks like a fox with a fox head shape mm-hmm. and sort of short and furry like a bear. But the American Akita looks like a wolf.
Ah.
And it actually has a curly tail and fluffy. And it's actually big as a bear and a pea, approximately 1 month mm. old. The paw is actually be bigger than your hand. Where can I find an American Akita in the Bahamas?
I got asked
up. You know anyone that breeds the American Akita?
The last time I saw an Akita, I would have.
They are very expensive dogs now. They're not the cheapest dogs in the world.
Yeah, I would have been a teenager. The last time I saw an Akita, or maybe a little sooner than that, but a long
time.
Man,
that's a pretty dog.
Yeah, they know they're nice. They're nice dogs for sure. They're nice dogs for sure. And then once you have, and if you have a cool environment, if you have financially able to take care of the dog, you're able to, most likely get them spayed or neutered so they don't add to the population in the country.
You're very familiar with the American Akita.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I grew up.
Okay, so I have a question for you pertaining that, right?
Yeah.
Is our climate conducive for an American Akita? Because, the American Akita actually tends to shed a lot of hair
mm-hmm.
because it's a very fluffy dog.
Mm-hmm.
Is our temperature in the Bahamas too humid for that type of dog?
Yeah, well, no, that's what I was just getting at when I said you have to have a cool space and you have to be financially able. And I was kind of trying to say it nicely, but you better have air conditioning and you have to have central air and the dog is live inside. If you're going to have a husky or a thick-haired dog, a dog that was designed to live in a cold environment, then you're essentially taking that dog out of its natural environment, bringing it to the Bahamas, and so you have to create a cold environment.
Yes. My pot cake, mind you, she doesn't like to be called pot cake. She likes to be called Royal Bohemian.
Mm-hmm.
She likes air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells you, she knocks on the door.
Yeah.
I need to come into the air conditioning. Yeah. Who tell you to only have the air conditioning inside your room, right?
Yeah.
So I want to know, can Potcake's dog be trained? I know people say, man, these are dogs that's best left outside. And why a Potcake dog that is as I call it, cultured,
I'm glad you went back into the direction because I actually, like I said, what I was explaining before was broad and I wanted to connect it to our emancipation and our experience. And so in the Bahamas, or Bahamians in general, we've been encouraged to move away from, I was growing up, we were encouraged to move away from farming. We were encouraged to move away from farming into the more like, if you ain't a doctor, you ain't a lawyer, right? If you ain't moving into the corporate world, a banker or something like that, you haven't achieved in a sense, right? You know that, right? So, and Bahamians were also told that the land couldn't handle farming, mm-hmm. right? This is connected to potcakes now, so don't think I'm moving too far away. So, with us being taken away from the rural farming experience that is a traditional Bahamian experience, we as well learned to devalue the dog that was our companion in that experience, mm-hmm. right? And so the potcake is no different intellectually or than any other dog. The potcake, like I said at the beginning of the conversation, is a conglomerate of the different breeds. So the potcake to me is closer to what Mother Nature created, what the creator put here for us, because what the potcake is we're taking all of those breeds that we streamlined and we're bringing them back together. The creator didn't create an Akita. Mm-hmm. We created the Akita. The creator created what we call the mongrel. So what we've devalued is actually the strongest dog, genetically speaking. And that ties into the best experience for a human being is to be able to farm your own food.
Our text here says, do we need a fatal incident for innocent children mm-hmm. for this to be considered?
That's a layered question because, of course, we want to manage the population of stray dogs and get them to be as low as possible, right? But even in America, you have 75 million stray, you have 75 million dogs, period, right? In Brazil, you got 35.7 million. And I could keep going down the list in terms of the most populated countries with dogs. So in the Bahamas, we have, we'd say 121,000, 120,000, I'd say, dogs or dog ownership, right? And most stray dogs have homes. That most stray dogs have a home or have a family that they could connect
with. So they're not necessarily stray.
So they're not necessarily.
They're more like free roaming.
Free roaming.
Okay.
Okay, and so when you ask the question, should we eliminate, we should manage the population so that we can get to below a carrying capacity that doesn't feel like we're overwhelmed with dogs so we could have the traditional dog experience. Now, when you say eliminate, we have to discuss how do we get this population management under control.
So you just can't put them down?
Well, of course not. That the community, it's gonna feel unethical, right? Because it's euthanasia. I remember when I was a child at the Humane Society, they had to at the time years ago it was more you know they might have put down. Now that's done with, right? And I remember the lady. I'm not gonna call her name. And I was a kid, and I was like, "Why are you doing that?" And man, she cried. She literally cried, put down the needle, and I felt bad because I made her feel bad, but I was just an annoying kid, being an annoying kid. So it takes a toll on a human to have to do that, right? And so imagine the rhetoric if the Bahamas said we're going to just euthanize all stray dogs. That would just that would make the Bahamas look bad in the world scale, right? So that's not the answer. So we have to figure out that there are three different areas, main areas when you're dealing with population management. You got the economic, so the societal issues, the economic issues, and then you've got the geographic aspect, right? So you have like what type of landscape, you know, is what's the weather like, you know, in the winter do all dogs, you know, in certain countries, they may be able to boast about a lack of stray dogs because they can't have stray dogs because the stray dogs would die in the winter. We don't discuss that. We look at, the rhetoric that you had in the beginning was really like, Bahamians suck, right? Mm-hmm. My kids are here, mm-hmm. and they live in the U.S. And we were discussing things the other day, and I don't know if, Aaliyah, you'd want to chime in here. Oh, Elijah, but you had mentioned that you saw, like you had seen instances of poor animal care and bad stuff happening in the U.S. as well. I don't know if you wanted to touch on what specifically you had mentioned to me really quickly. That was just fine. Think about it. But if you remember, then you could chime in later. But nonetheless, so we know that there are issues everywhere, right? And so how do we solve these issues? What I've found is that when the population or the people increase their desire to adopt, so like the gentleman that wanted the Akita, if he went to the Humane Society and just looked around, he might fall in love with one of those dogs and realize that I want that dog. But we also have to change the rhetoric that the pot cake is something bad.
Or less than,
yeah. Because to me, the pot cake is greater than. It's taking it back to the creator's version, mm-hmm. and not so much our version.
We have some calls on the line. Let me have them engage you too. Producer Patch, the first caller there through. Go ahead, caller, Guiding Radio AM. We have Mr. Stubbs from Stubbs Dale. Mm-hmm. What is the correct name for your business again? Stubbs Dale.
Stubbs Dale Dog Care Center. Yeah. And more so, the future is Pat's Nature Garden. Mm-hmm. Stubbsdale Dog Care Center still exists, but you know, I'm in my 40s now. I want to move into not so much training dogs, training dog trainers, and focusing on population management. So okay. Moving into policy and advising.
Okay.
That's my future.
Okay. Go ahead, Cola.
Hey, I have one more question for your guest, right?
Go ahead.
How come you could feed the pot cake literally anything and the pot cake will survive? I see people feed the pot cake mango skin, curry chicken, tuna salad, leftover fire engine, and I saw someone try the same thing with a pit bull. Man, this pit bull dead with heartworm, headache, migraine, diarrhea in about a week.
Wow.
The same exact food.
Okay, let me let Mr. Stubbs to respond there. Thanks very much. That's a good call.
So, yes.
Just don't feed them chocolate. I know right, that for exactly. Sure. Don't feed them chocolate.
Yeah, there's a list of things you shouldn't feed them. Mm. However, this ties right back into what I just said, that if you weaken the genetics by creating, I guess I'll start over by saying how breeds were created. breeds were created by streamlining the genetics, meaning that you're allowing the genetic pool to get diminished and you're breeding dogs that are closely related over and over and over again until you get something consistent enough to be able to be called it a breed because you're getting consistent results. So when you do that, you multiply the negative aspects of the genome as well as the positive things you're looking for. And so those dogs, although they have wonderful, for example, the pit bull, the snout is truncated, right? And so you're gonna have with those type of dogs breathing issues, right? In comparison to other dogs, you put certain dogs outside. They can't handle the heat as well, right? And like what our caller is pointing out is their intestines or their ability to digest food is less or different than a dog that has more of the genetic variation or diversity of the pot cake.
Okay, we have another caller wanting to engage you. I'm just concerned that it just seems as if we're overrun by stray dogs, and it seems to be pot cake.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know the Humane Society, and I just saw the name Paws, tend to have free spading and neutering every year. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what can the Bohemian public do to assist in this animal control of numbers of these stray dogs.
Great question.
Let's go to the caller first, and then you can respond to that. Okay? Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Call going once.
Oh, yeah. You're
live.
It's one important thing, right? Mm-hmm. Between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., those stray dogs watch your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. They are like a radar system. All right.
Man, I appreciate that. And we tend to forget how important or what does the pot cake. How does the pot cake add to our community, especially again through that early morning, right? The detection that people move it.
Yeah.
In terms of these animal groups who come from abroad and they're spading and neutering, how important is that? How can we help with that?
Sure.
In terms of controlling animals.
Sure. Okay. So as I was mentioning earlier, you have three main areas in terms of when you're talking about population control that are, at least in my what I've discovered, you have the socioeconomic aspect and you have the geographic aspect. So socioeconomic aspect is the choices we make, the psychology we have, and what our belief system is. And so if Bark comes in and spays and neuters and sterilizes the dogs, they did about 20,000 dogs over the past, since the Operation Pot Cake program, which is a huge number. But of course, because the dogs, the estrus, they go in estrus so frequently, and you could have 100 puppies for one dog, but that's unlikely that the mother's gonna have that many in her lifetime, because no creature has as much as they possibly could have, right? Because you're gonna have, let's say, 20, right? Maybe not 100. So Bark comes by. And they spay and neuter all of the dogs, and then right away next year you have a new
numbers don't seem to shrink.
The numbers don't seem to shrink as much. Now Mother Nature has her solution. You'll have an outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a distemper, parvo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll have an outbreak where, and that's actually what happened a few years back, where there was an outbreak and the numbers did decline. Then in addition, at the similar time, you had Operation Portcake going on, and so the streets got very scarce a couple of years back. That's, you know, however. That obviously, if we're back to having high numbers and we can't tell that that the operation is working, then there's something else going on. So what is that? It's because we are breeding dogs and we're not adopting enough dogs.
We are breeding dogs but not adopting enough dogs.
Right. And so I personally think it might be a little unethical to infringe on people's freedoms to say you cannot have a dog of your choice. However, if there is a health issue, in the papers the other day, Dr. Minna said something about no fast food on the family islands. And of course, that's an uproar because we all know intrinsically that's stepping on our freedoms, right? However, if the angle that it could probably be enacted is if there's a health crisis, like when COVID came around, they infringed on our freedoms heavily because of the health crisis associated with the situation. right? And so if there's a health crisis associated with breeding dogs and that we could articulate that the government could flesh out and put into legislation, then maybe the law could be put in place to limit the, or perhaps regulate dog breeding. But that's not going to do it in and of itself, because you could regulate it, but if people don't adopt the dogs, then we always be just going to continuously have a problem. So spay and neuter is great. It's needed. But we have to educate the public on the fact that pot cakes are great.
Pot cakes need love, too.
Pot cakes need. Oh, and here's a super important point, brother. You said in a lot of my advertisements, you see pot cakes.
Mm-hmm.
I interact with so many Bahamians that show love and spend money on their dogs. I actually don't have that narrative that Bahamians, quote unquote, suck. There is a lot of bad stuff happening, don't get me wrong, but I see so much love that I come to bring the balance.
Bahamians search out pot cakes to adopt them?
Yes.
I know, I see foreigners has come here and adopt Abaco dogs and Lutra dogs.
That because the foreigners have perhaps maybe the advertising power or the organizations or they're investing a lot of money, because if you could go to another country and help out, then you have money. Right, but if you're in the country and you're unable to go to another country and help out, then your money, your economics, socioeconomic aspect is a little different. So what that does is that the Bahamians, the everyday Bahamians that are caring for their dogs, doing what they're supposed to do, they ain't in the papers. They're not popular. They don't do it and get talked about. And of course, bad news travels more than good news.
Yeah.
And so the rhetoric, I think, is a little slightly lopsided. And so the rhetoric kind of self-perpetuates that pot cakes aren't great dogs, because Bahamians think dogs suck. And so Bahamians don't care about dogs. And so we need someone else to come in and not fully the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you have the complete opposite happening as well at the same time that we're not highlighting. So restorative justice mm-hmm. says that you highlight the good to remind persons of who they are.
Mm-hmm. Good. In terms of dogs being trained, mm-hmm. and because part of your business when you initially mm-hmm. started that you used to train dogs,
yes,
or train, have owners be trained mm-hmm. to handle their dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Walking them and animal control, whatever it is, right? Or leashing, whatever it is. When I saw you had teenagers, adults walking with their pot cakes, and I was mm-hmm. concentrating on pot cakes, especially on Emancipation Day, right? And you answered me that pot cakes can be trained.
Definitely.
Is there a move to have regular Bahamians say, man, I come up with my pot cake dog to get basic training? Do dogs need basic training?
Yeah, I recently had a dog show along with my partners and all our supporters.
And when you said dog show, did the pot cake come?
The show was called the Pot Cake Awards.
You have a Pot Cake Awards show?
If you didn't know about it, that means next year we got to advertise a little better.
Yeah, you come on the show and advertise, spend some money. But go ahead. I'll talk about the pot cakes. I want you to include that in your response in terms
yes.
of
so
dogs.
So that's why I brought it up.
Go ahead.
So the Pot Cake Awards was an initiative we did this year. And the feeling behind it was to highlight Bahamian love for their pot cakes, which I experience in my profession daily, right? And so I wanted to highlight that reality. And so the Pot Cake Awards was in honor of the Bahamian pot cake, although it was considered an all-breed dog show. So all breeds could come. Now next year, we might change the theme and the name a little bit so that everyone knows for sure that all breeds are welcome. But we're definitely going to have the pot cake class, mm-hmm. where we have a class for pot cakes, right? And so I started out like in 1992 at the Bahamas Kennel Club International Dog Show. Mm-hmm. My pot cake whiskey won the first pot cake award.
Okay.
And I got my start as a dog trainer working in the family business. Of course, I went and got my own certifications and my bachelor's and all of that good stuff. And I'm in grad school now.
You get a bachelor's in dog?
No,
dog
I got a bachelor's in philosophy.
Oh, okay.
But I got a certification in dog training.
Because I was just going to say, this is a degree for dogging?
And then I'm in grad school for conservation biology.
So, okay. I see how you combine all of that.
Yeah.
So
that's where I at right now.
Okay.
But long story short, but the foundation is people know me because... as a child, because I had this cool pot cakes, or we would have pot cakes with the family that would go into the dog show and beat up on the international trainers.
Mm-hmm.
essentially. We would do just as well or better than everyone else. And we had people from international, local, everybody here. So our pot cake were trained just like any other dog. And they performed just as good as any other dog. And so, but it became a novelty, maybe I didn't see this as a child as much, but I see it now because people didn't expect that to be the case because of the rhetoric in the country of how we care for dogs. But again, come on, let's look back to 50, 60 years when Bahamians couldn't go downtown and we were economically deprived. Mm-hmm. So the culture, and even when you said that the gentleman said that dogs indicate to us security.
Yeah, warning system.
If you picture that in a farm setting, that's the mentality that we're still holding on to because that is our foundation, a rural experience, and that's the Bahamian culture. We're a third world country, quote unquote, maybe second world, but where our culturing is more family island come to Nassau. Mm. You understand? And that hasn't left us. And so our concept of how we care for our dogs is maybe outdated. Mm. And it's because of who we are as a people historically, right? And so that's pretty much, I don't want to keep talking.
No, actually, be engaged. We have another caller who wants to engage you, so let me invite the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. You're live.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to the gentleman. Yeah, this is a very good conversation. Of course, seeing you, I get to like you more now that you say you have a pot cake. My brother has a pot cake by the homestead where the shop is, right? And you see, he actually keeps it in the house. And so, I mean, the pot cake is very smart. You know, there's a American bulldog mixed with a pit bull, and then there's a bull terrier in the yard. And, you know, they have different characteristics. But the thing is, the pot cake is kind of different. She's smarter because if she want to bite someone, she doesn't show any aggression. She walks up to you with her tail kind of semi-hooked, and then she'll just start biting you. And so we love her because she don't show that aggression before. She said she's not that fearful, and because she's allowed to roam, we let her out and she'll walk through the corner and she'll come back. So she's not afraid of people. But I like how the reason why, you know, I love pot cakes. You can always tell a dog lover, I didn't get your surname. Anytime you see a pot cake in the road and people don't press their brakes, that means they don't love dogs. And if you don't have a dog, you don't have no love. Because I grew up with dogs. That's just the way I feel. I don't care about it. And that's why you see a lot of rich people love dogs. Mm-hmm. And so what I notice is, as you were talking about the breeds, right? The people don't understand. It's more like a dog eugenics in which they try to breed a superior breed. But in this attempt, like you mentioned, we have actually infuriated some breeds in which, because of the miscegenation, so to speak, they have become more susceptible to certain diseases. Like people believe, like that's a dog with a white coating. They become more susceptible to certain skin diseases. I noticed that, and certain breeds have become more susceptible because of this. And then now, even though there's a proliferation of pot cakes in the city, I spent a time in Jamaica and a lot of people communities. Those dogs are actually signals for when people are coming into the community is correct, and they were necessary. But now we have allowed them to proliferate to a point of the people. And so that's the only problem I have with them. But for me personally, I love the dogs. And why I fell in love with the pit bulls and the short-haired dogs, because they don't share that much hair. You know, and CA, you're correct. When the dog wants to go outside, what she does is she stands by the door, and then the first person that comes through the door, she goes out. When she want to come in, when she want to go in, she'll stand by the door, and she'll look at you, and she'll just go in. So, I mean, the question is a no-brainer. These dogs are very, very intelligent. All dogs, I guess, they're a creature of habit. You know what I mean? But this gentleman, I think my brother bought a dog from your father years ago.
No, we don't sell dogs. That wouldn't have been us.
Okay. We're going to, thanks very much, 52. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we go further into detail about the initiatives that Stubbs Deals is doing now. Guardian Radio AM, we're going to be right back. We're talking about emancipation, how pot cakes are being treated, especially during this era, right? There's some kind of classism happening right now, right? And I want to speak out for them because, like I said, I have a pot cake dog.
Yes, sir.
She's a house dog. She goes and get her own leash and says, it's time to walk. And she'll wake up the entire house at 6 a.m. to say, it's time to walk.
Yeah.
Right? And she goes and step out. And I'm saying, it's a smart dog.
Yes, yes.
She has her own personality.
Yes.
Irking at times. But yes, yes. Yes. Anyway, Guiding Radio AM, we'll be right back.
It's no fun when you're on the run. They don't love me. They only know
to sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initialogist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there, call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Gate stray, as sad as he could be, lived beside the roadside, a life of misery.
With mangy coat and raggy face, this little spirit torn. So many times he asked himself, is this why I was born?
Amigo, amigo, everybody's...
I remember Amigo. I didn't realize we had that many Potcake Dog songs. But I remember Amigo, I think, was adopted, or several Bahamian Potcake Dogs were adopted, end up in Canada, end up in the United States, and now living that luxurious life. So dogs, Bahamian dogs, I mean, in the Potcake, are considered. They are being sorted out, especially by expats who say, man, these are good dogs, right? Why they're not being loved like they should? And we're having a show about that, especially about emancipation and that freedom and considering ourselves and our direction and how we should look at the Potcake dog, right? I know at Subsdale, you do animal training or dog training.
Yeah, dog training.
Right, as part of your program.
Yes.
And I see you at one point in time, you target teenagers to make sure they have good dog handling skills.
Yes.
I want to know more in terms of, I just got a dog. Say I just got a dog, mm-hmm. right? And my now teenage child, or my now 8, 9, 10-year-old child now needs to interact with that dog, mm-hmm. right? Because it's their dog. It can't be my dog.
Right.
I get a dog because of them.
Yes.
Do you have a program I can introduce my teenage child mm-hmm. to say, hey, you need to learn the basics of how to handle this dog?
Yes.
You're going to have to walk this dog, you're going to bathe this dog, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Tell me about that program.
Well, number one, I want parents to consider when they get a dog, if you could say that the dog this is your dog, but if the child intellectually, mentally cannot handle the pressures of or the rigidity of, because having a puppy is like having a baby, essentially, you know, they gotta eat every 2 hours if they come under 8 weeks, they gotta get fed every 2 hours with goat milk if the mother isn't feeding them. And then even after 8 weeks, then they take a lot of care. Then you got to get all of the vaccinations, and then you got to feed them 3 times a day and take them out. So it's a lot. And a child may just not.
Wait, you got to feed a dog 3 times a day?
As a puppy.
Oh, as a puppy. I got a little concerned because that child. Maddie has got one big plate.
Yeah, no, but as an adult, you can, dogs could handle. They don't know when they're gonna eat again if they're in nature, and so they hunt. And so,
I won't give my dog diabetes.
Yeah. So but you could maybe get away with 2 times a day, right?
Okay.
But 3 times a day for puppies, and then as they get adults, you could go down to 1. But the amount of food is the issue, you know. So but that's not essentially the question, right? So bring me back to the question because I kind of went far off.
In terms of children being able to train the dogs,
right? And so children, If you get a dog for a child, and the child can't, don't have the capacity to care for this dog, then you already shoot yourself in the foot. And as a trainer, I've been to many homes where I've had to kind of say, hey, listen, I need you. This your dog. But, ma'am, and I have to say it very delicately, right, ma'am. Listen, I know you got the dog for the child, but I don't think she can handle what I'm asking of her, because she has to take this leash, go for a walk, and mentally process the instructions I'm giving them. And so you got probably going to be more of a 13-year-old, 12-year-old. Put the pressures of full responsibility of a dog on you. So I'll say that right there. So now, once we get to that point, then I have a job training program. And it's usually for students who go into their senior year, right? And that's typically when students want to do job training. But it's available for younger ones. And they can enroll in the job training program. We do classes right there at Stapleton School. We have a service dog training classroom, therapy and service dog training classroom. And so we're working with students at Stapleton School, as well as students who come from around the community. And so, yes, that is definitely a program that I run. And they could reach out to me if they want their student. Matter of fact, I have, I'm not going to call the name, but there are like professional dog trainers that when they were in high school, they connected with me and then they came back. They went away, got their training, and they came back and started a company. And so that has happened over the years. And so I'm now standardized that because I'm offering that. But you have a question?
Yeah, I have a text who asks if they just got a puppy. Mm-hmm. And they want to house train the dog. If any techniques you can recommend them to have for that? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, number one, I offer free videos on YouTube that give you tips and tutorials. So I have a video there where it gives you a really good guide on potty training your dog. And then if you did a search online, I have an article, and it was in the Tribune at one point in time too. So you could find it. Just got a pup. Now what? All right, so search that out. If you didn't just got a pup, now what? Do a Google search, look for the Tribune article, or go on my website, right? So at stubbsdale.org, right? So with that being said, in general, you want to, it's boundaries and scheduling. And so you're not going to go out in the road because your pup's probably not vaccinated or fully vaccinated. However, right inside your yard, you're going to give your dog ample running time, at least three times a day for sure. I'd say, honestly, about an hour to 2 hours if you could manage that, and you get the best results. When I see people have the most challenges is when they only want to go for a 15-minute walk, and then they bring the dog back into the house, and then they're saying, how do I get this dog potty trained? And it's much more difficult that way, right? But you know, sometimes
that's... So definitely walk the dog if you want to get the dog potty trained.
But not just walk, because that's what I'm getting at. That 15-minute walk, how long? People ain't walking for 2 hours or an hour. Mm-hmm, okay. They go outside 15, 20 minutes, they come right back inside.
Yeah.
Now, what if your dog is already trained, that's fine. But if your dog is not trained, when your dog come back inside, where are you putting them?
Yeah.
You're just going to let them free? Yeah. So how will you regulate what happens because they didn't use the bathroom in that 15 minutes, mm-hmm. right? Or if they come inside, how does the dog know that inside and outside is different? So there's boundaries now. You have to decide where will you allow this dog to go. So you want to have a safe space in the house. Mm-hmm. So a very specific suggestion that I'll give that'll really help out is in a small area, put down a lot of newspaper and section that area off. So in that area, your dog associate newspaper or some pad. If you want to purchase pads, if you have the resources to purchase pads, fine. But I'm saying spread it out over the entire small area, you know, 5 foot. 10 foot, whatever the small room is. And so if you could afford to spread pads over the whole area, that's up to you.
Okay.
But I tend to use newspaper because it's more feasible.
Yeah.
Right? And then your dog will associate the newspaper with that process. And then you can just decrease the amount of newspaper over the course of weeks. And then your dog will eventually...
That makes sense. You know, the lines are full of quick. So let me give everyone 30 seconds move toward the end of the show. Go ahead, caller. We're making it quick. Mm. Call girl one. Call a girl in twice. Go to the next one. Go ahead, call it. Guiding Radio. Call a girl in once. Call a girl in twice. Try to make sure everyone get squeezed in for the last minute, right? I want to know about walking the dog, right? And I see the call's coming in again. Let me squeeze the caller in again, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. I'm trying to squeeze you in. You're live.
Miss Newry?
Yep. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I used to live in Nassau, but I live in a family. You all talking about pot cakes?
Yeah, man.
I know a lady, when I used to hang by the rear door in Nassau. I live on the island now. But a lady sent a plane, a jet, a private jet for pick up a pot cake.
Yeah.
And from Nassau.
Yeah.
She fell in love with a pot cake and she sent it to a jet to pick up a pot cake in Nassau.
Yep.
Please, please, please. Pot cakes are nice dogs. So 10 of them running around the yard right now.
I can picture you have 10 of them running around the yard now. But thanks very much, ma'am. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guided me, AM.
Hey, see, ask your guest, Ray, if he ever see someone before try something where they watching a dog whisper show and it failed.
Okay.
While I was watching someone in Coral Harbor, right, they must be watching a dog whisper show and they try training the dog, right? I tell my baby, say, baby, watch this. $10 Betty gear bite. Oh, why yeah. You don't believe he try what he watch on TV and the man gear bite?
Of course.
Fuck the dog. Yeah, take an experience.
Thank you very much.
Some dogs take experience.
But I want to talk about walking, how important is walking. You mentioned that it got to be more than 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And in terms of your corral, the space for your dog and that you have a dog, does a dog need to be have a room in space so I can tie him up all during the day?
Yeah. So what I was getting at was your walk may not be, but your walk may only be 15, 20 minutes because a lot of our time is limited. You got to get to work. It's early in the morning. You may just, I go to people's homes a lot. So I'm regurgitating more or less my experience. And a lot of people just don't have that time in the morning for an hour long walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's why I'm advocating for you to have your yard closed in
mm-hmm.
and have a space where your dog can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Go run. Love just, yourself.
Yeah.
Just shade it in. This yours.
Mm-hmm.
Dig. Have fun because, it's, you know, but if you have a garden or a really manicured yard and you also want to have a dog, it's going to be, you're going to have some, there's going to be some learning, a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
So your dog understands your expectations because the dog, I'm supposed to drink up the bromeliad,
mm-hmm.
put water in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like these bromeliad, I can dig this up and care this area.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's your mommy, grammy expensive bromeliad.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to section off the yard so your dog can do no wrong because it's hard in some sense for the dog to understand all of your, lower your expert, but close in your yard.
Definitely close in your yard.
So that's my answer to you. Your dogs need walking, but I think more so practically, we need to close in our yards and create spaces where our dogs can't get out into the public and then mate with other dogs. And then that'll complement what the expat or the foreign community is assisting us with the spay and neuter protocols.
Yes. So give me your contacts so people can call you and ask some questions in case they want their teenagers to participate in the training and stuff like that.
And adopt
some dogs.
So if we could close in our yards and adopt, I think we would complement the spay and neuter initiatives mm-hmm. and then we would start to see a lowering of the population that's sustainable.
Okay.
Right? But my contact is 818-918-9731 or stubsdale@gmail.com with 1B.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can go on stubsdale.org.
Okay.
Stubsdale with 1B.
So you have your own website?
Yes, sir.
Stubsdale.org. Are you on social media?
And all the social medias are TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. And again, if you need some tips, I have some really cool videos up where I've been putting a lot of energy into putting out free information because in this day and age, a lot of information you could just find for yourself. So take advantage of that.
Last question. That dog in the advertisement you was talking to, that dog is talk for true?
It was Afri.
Oh.
Afri about as old as my son because I got Afri when he was a baby.
Yeah.
She passed away now.
Oh, okay.
And it almost feels like she could talk, you know.
Yeah.
It almost feels like she could
talk. I see you had a whole conversation. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much for Mr. Devlin.
Devlin Stubbs.
Right? Yes, sir, yes, sir. I got Jive Doctrine. I just listen to music.
Music.
Anyway, have a wonderful day.
All right, brother.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.